This is Paul Goldschmidt of the Arizona Diamondbacks. You're listening to Bobcat Radio on 89.9.
And we're back here to continue our March Madness talk. To go back on our game, on the me and Warren's experience. Yeah, AT&T Center, a little sketch area. We were driving through.
We made it out safe.
It is in the middle of nowhere because, like, downtown San Antonio is, like, still, like, a ways from there.
So it's not even close to downtown San Antonio?
I think it's, like, 10 miles away.
Because you know whenever they show, like, whenever you do, like, a TNT game?
Yeah, they show downtown. It's not there.
So it's right there in the middle of downtown San Antonio.
No, they pull you off I-35, and they take you about a good 10 minutes or 5 minutes to the west of that. And then
it's a nicer. I thought it was a nice arena. It's a nice arena. Yeah. And, like, if you're in the upper deck, there's not a bad seat.
Exactly.
Like, they slant you. The angle is so steep up there. Like, you got to hold on to the railing going down. You don't want to fall. Like, there are people up there that were struggling, even with, like, young people. Like, I was holding onto the rail, making sure someone was texting while going down the steps I saw. I was like, we might have an accident here.
You're playing with fire, man.
Yeah, they made it out all right, though, but the games.
Games are great. The game was great. Iowa State and UNC.
I'm a little biased. I think that was probably one of the best games of the weekend.
I think it was.
One of DeAndre Kane.
Oh, my goodness.
That drive he had at the end of the game was amazing. And the big loss for them, George Niang injury.
I think Kirk and I both
had him in the final
four.
And I was I'm very nervous.
Me too.
About them making the final four because they struggled against Carolina. They scored. They can score.
Mm-hmm.
But Niang in there. And I was thinking, all right, maybe on the bench he could rehab it. But boy, I was making sure to watch him. Like, all right, puff it up, son. Get in there. No, he was limping hard. He had surgery this week, so it went successfully. But I was like, okay, maybe quick rehab, get some special shoe that he can't injure it anymore or something. But no, he's done. That's a big loss for them, though. Like, they could win the national championship with him.
Yeah,
they just have no size now.
They have nothing.
I'm afraid against Michigan State because Michigan State is a big team and. I don't know if DeAndre Kane and Edgem can.
Yeah, and they can beat UConn this week. UConn's only got Shabazz, Napier.
Yeah,
they can beat them, but Michigan State. Yeah, that's gonna be tough.
I do remember hearing you talk about Niang. You're like, oh, he could probably play. You know, maybe he sucks it up, and then you see him get off on the boot, and he's limping bad. He's like, oh no, he can't. He's not gonna be able to play.
I got my hopes up, and I was just hoping to get the bracket not completely destroyed.
Yeah,
my goal is don't get the bracket completely destroyed after the first weekend.
Get to the Elite Eight.
Get second weekend, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's gonna happen. But just let me get the first weekend of not. Just the true put it in the shredder.
I think DeAndre Kane heard you because he just had a phenomenal game. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. And it seemed like there was a stretch where he didn't score for a while where it was kind of back where like his teammates kind of came and backed him up. But there was like a stretch where it was just him versus Marcus Paige, and it was phenomenal.
Shot for shot.
Yeah.
And it was high pace too, just threes, raining threes. No one was calling timeout. Loved it. Like you said, the atmosphere for that was great. And even yeah, Carolina made a big run in the second half. They were up like 9.
Yeah.
9 or 10 and just lost it there. But I will say this. The one disappointing thing was the ending of that game.
Yep.
Like, if a high-quality game like that should not have had the ending. And I still don't know who called timeout. Was it Marcus Paige or not?
I don't know. I thought
it was the freshman. Marcus Paige is the freshman.
Was it McAdoo? It wasn't McAdoo.
No, he was terrible. We were talking about how bad he was. Not very good.
But then he still had like 12 points. He played pretty good at the end.
He
was making them going in. He was taking advantage of their lack of size and going in there.
I think we're the Marcus Paige peanut gallery.
The McAdoo peanut gallery in the first half. Yeah, he had to miss like his first five. And there were layups, too, just bricking him at the side of the backboard in the rim. But whoever it was, I don't know the Carolina player, he should have just hoisted it. That would have been a better ending with the drama, because then the calling timeout, I get what he's trying to do, but even if you call timeout, you have like 0.8 seconds left or 0.5. You can't do anything with that.
And the thing was, wasn't there like a clock malfunction? Like, they didn't start the clock till halfway down half court.
And that's the thing. I noticed that at the game.
Yeah.
I was like, because I was getting a little nervous. I'm like, this guy's going to make the three
too,
here, and I'm going to be done. I'm going to be upset. And no, so the clock stopped. It was just a weird, and it took like five minutes for them to get to figure it out. But that was like the most disappointing, because you want the at least a half-court heave.
Yeah, you want
just
like
for
a,
that
a shot.
Yeah, okay, maybe it's going in. And then everyone oohing and ahhing as it, like, bricks off the rim or doesn't even come close. That was just really disappointing.
Well, I think it was Roy Williams was trying to call a timeout at the – because we didn't see this when we were there.
Oh, he called timeout?
He tried to call timeout before they inbounded it. And the refs didn't – you know, like, in the last second, the refs now – they're paying attention to the game, trying to call a foul or trying to, you know, make sure something's off, make sure everything goes right. And so they didn't see him trying to call a timeout. And so the inbound of the ball, and I guess the player saw him. I'm trying to find out what player it is as well.
That's all right.
Trying to find who it is. Oh, he saw him trying to call timeout. And so
when he was in mid motion, he stopped.
Okay.
So he stopped, called timeout. That makes more sense.
And obviously, it just, you know, it was too late, and the refs decided that not enough time would have been left. And I think it was true.
It was over a minute.
Yeah. That,
and even anyways, it was 0.1 seconds, so you can tip it at the rim, and we all know that shot. It would have been a miracle if that would have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, but phenomenal game nonetheless. Just a, just kind of an unfortunate ending.
And I think we need to pay homage to two people.
Okay.
I know Ishton knows where I'm going with
this. Oh, gosh.
Doug McDermott. What a great career.
Yeah.
It was really disappointing. Boy, Baylor, they were probably – they looked the most impressive team weekend.
They looked angry.
They probably played the best basketball I thought of anyone. That against Creighton, they dominated them. They made like a triangle around McDermott.
Yeah.
Nothing got to him. Isaiah Austin, this is another thing. We can talk about this later on.
Yeah.
They need to change the 3-second rule because Isaiah Austin literally stuck his 2 feet in, 2 feet in front of the hoop, and did not move the entire game. And so there was no space in there. It moved back to 3-point line. They need to do something with the rules. Now, that's for a different time, but boy, they played great defense. Brady Heslip, did not miss.
Yeah.
And second half, coming out of the locker room in the second half, he made like 8 threes in the warm-ups.
Exactly.
In a row. And
yeah, I know.
Continued.
You were counting. He was like one,
Baylor,
two, three.
They were the most impressive team. I think they can give Wisconsin a very, very good game.
I agree. I think Baylor looks like they might be able to, they could beat Florida.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because they're so athletic. Baylor's athletic. They have, you know, big Isaiah Austin. I mean, he literally got about 20, I felt like, offensive rebounds. I mean, they could not rebound for Creighton, and I was impressed. I did pick Baylor to beat Creighton because I just knew the athletic ability at some point comes into play when you're playing teams. But I was definitely impressed with Baylor. They have a good shot of beating Wisconsin.
And another thing, too, like Creighton was scared of Isaiah Austin. Yeah. Whenever they could have tried a floater, they looked at pass, and that was another one of their big downfalls. Another guy I want to pay homage to, my boy. Aaron Kraft couldn't get it done, but you know what?
He went down swinging.
He went down swinging in Aaron Kraft way. He got burned on defense, so they should have switched him off because he was getting torched all day by him. But you know what? Two great careers. Now we just put our eggs in the basket of Luke Hancock at Louisville. But no, those are two great careers, and they'll probably – Kraft will be like a second-round pick, but McDermott.
McDermott's a lottery pick, easily.
You think he's a lottery pick?
Top five, top five, top eight.
Because they go with – I mean, we'll get into a draft preview later on, but, like, he can do one thing really well, and that's shoot and score.
Yeah.
And at worst, he's, what, a Channing Frye. At worst, he's a big man you can stick on the wings. So, I mean, if you can get a guarantee of somebody who can, like, I think he's a starter in this league. If you can get a guarantee, somebody who's a guaranteed 10 years, that's solid in the lottery.
Yeah.
You don't always go for the amazing ceiling guys. But McDermott, I think he's earned his spot as a lottery pick.
Other good games I thought this weekend, North Dakota State over OU.
Great game.
3-12 over 5's ones. All four of them should have won if North Carolina State would have been able to make some foul shots at the end of the games there. St. Joe's probably should have beat Connecticut.
Oh.
That was a really good game.
I picked St. Joe's to win.
So did I, too. They should have won that game there. There are a lot of stuff. I picked NC State. I was not very happy there. But, no, there's a lot of good games this weekend. And I told you, look out for Mercer last week.
I don't want to rub it in,
but you know what?
I was wondering when that was going to come out.
I had it next year on the sheet right here. Big upset. I have it written down. I called it Mercer over Duke.
Ooh.
And I said,
props.
Clark Kellogg, I will tell you this. He's gotten him right the last 2 years. Out of the Atlantic Sun, Florida Gulf Coast, he said watch out for them, and Mercer. It got a little itchy. Harry there for Mercer, and the kid dropping the nay-nay.
Yeah.
He is like an internet sensation right now. That is hilarious. And their coach is great.
Yeah.
And I'm not surprised they lost to Tennessee. Tennessee's got that Stokes kid. And that Stokes kid is real good. He's like 6'11". Yeah. He's a big boy. Mercer just did not have any size.
Speaking of calling games, SFA over VCU.
Yeah.
I said watch out for
SFA. That should not have been a foul. That's like the weakest foul.
I saw it. I watched the whole game. I picked SFA to win, so
to me, that was a foul.
No, it's not. I had VCU, obviously, but that was not a foul. I had the perfect setup in my apartment, though. On Saturday, I can tell you, I don't think I got up to go to the bathroom and go to the kitchen, but I don't think I left my apartment on Saturday. I went from couch to chair, laying down and then sitting up in the couch and then moving to the chair. But we got this two TV system, mm-hmm. so whichever game started, whichever game was closer, got the bigger TV, right? And then that, so like when they started getting the games on at night, when they because they in the afternoon they had three games all at the same time, and then it was just a great setup. I'm flipping around, and my roommates were laughing at me. They're like, "You're still watching basketball?" I'm like, "You know what? That's what I do." Yeah. And like, they're asking me this week where all the games at, and they're like, they start Thursday. All right, don't worry about it.
Before we get into our MLB preview, biggest what do you think was the biggest disappointment of this tournament so far?
I don't know. But I think we haven't talked about this. We can come back to it.
Yeah.
Wichita State-Kentucky game. What? I don't know if you saw any of that, Kurt.
I saw the whole game.
What? There was issues at AT&T Center. So there's like 1 minute left in the game, and they took the game off the TVs in the concourse.
Wow.
So everyone's scrambling, and luckily some guy had a phone, and we're all like watching the game on a phone. Five people holding up watching the end of the game. They took it off at the start of the game. But that game was a shot-making.
Anthony Early was phenomenal.
Yes.
I mean, I got to
credit the early man.
He should have got that last shot.
Or,
and even Baker.
Yeah.
I don't know his first name, but.
Ron Baker.
Yeah. They were great. And I feel bad for Wichita State, though. Like, everyone's kind of, like, trashing them now. They're a good quality team.
They lost to Kentucky. Yeah. Still a first rounder.
And they were the first. They were the number one ranked team in the preseason. So you really can't hang your heads, Wichita State.
They hung with the top team.
That game was just remarkable. And this goes back to seeding.
Mm-hmm.
UMass was a 6 seed? No.
Yep.
You're going to tell me Kentucky
should have
been an
8
seed? Even New Mexico, who lost to Stanford, who's now in the Sweet 16, New Mexico shouldn't even have been a 7. I was complaining about Baylor being a 6 seed. They still went 9-9 in Big Ten play, I think.
Yeah.
That's not 6 seed quality. I know they made the championship game, and they played way better than a 6 seed as of late, but still seeding was a big issue in Louisville and all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wichita State proved that they were a good team because they played a team with as many first rounders as Kentucky, and I think this win's actually going to help Kentucky because they hadn't had a team where they hadn't had a team where they had to go back and forth like that. Like Clay Anthony Early and Ron Baker just mashed him for it was beautiful.
It was
like,
great.
I was screaming like, "Don't give him space!" and Clay Anthony Early would do a jab step and just step back and
take it. That one where he was over there just like baiting him the whole time.
And
it just pulled up, man.
And it's stuff like that, like. I think that's going to help this Kentucky team because going against an experienced team like Wichita State and having to dig deep and match them shot for shot, that's going to help them down the road.
The oohs and ahs in the concourse. It was fun.
That was a lot
of fun. But biggest disappointment, maybe Duke losing or Syracuse to Dayton Flyers?
Yeah.
I like their only Ohio or Indiana team left, so you know I'm on the Flyer train. But I don't – maybe Duke, I guess. I'm not surprised Kansas lost. They'd have Embiid.
Yeah.
The biggest disappointment, I don't know, maybe Jabari Parker.
Mine was Oklahoma State. I had them go under.
Yes. There you go.
And I really thought Marcus Smart played really good, I thought. And they just weren't, they didn't play good, I thought. Gonzaga was just the better team. They're fundamentally sound. And I was listening to Charles Barkley say, talent is going to get beat by fundamentals if you don't play hard. And I thought Oklahoma State didn't play hard. I mean, there was so many fouls, and the game was not very good because it was so long. But I'm really disappointed that Marcus Smart, you know, he's probably going to go to the draft, and I like him as a player, and I think he didn't go out the way he should have, and they didn't get that win.
And no real big favorites lost. I know the front runners, they're all still there. Michigan State, Louisville, Arizona, Florida. I guess maybe one of the sleepers, Iowa State with Niang.
That's true.
You could, outside looking in there, they're not getting past Michigan State.
I got my disappointment being Tyler Ennis from Syracuse because I thought I thought their offense would just find a way. Because it was clear their offense was not anything. Their offense wasn't anything. Dayton apparently figured out the zone and over the break or over did their homework on the zone. But I thought they were disappointing. I thought Syracuse as a whole. Jim Boeheim, I thought, he got outcoached, simply.
Yeah. No, those. The Miller brothers look exactly alike.
Yeah.
They're not identical twins, but they look exactly alike. But I guess,
We still got another. That's the first weekend. That's the craziest part. Like, we got the craziest stuff coming up.
There's still 16. Two more weekends, but the first weekend is the best.
Exactly.
It's the best weekend of the whole tournament.
That's true. But anyway, baseball season. the official
Sunday night
domestic baseball season start. So we got some baseball previews. What are you guys? You want to get into division picks?
Yeah, or? Just Padres and Dodgers start off on Sunday night. Usually they do the champion, World Series champion, starting on Sunday night. They kind of got away from that late. Like last year they had the Astros and Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the first game. All the action starts Monday. But, yeah, I'll just go through my division winners. I really like the A's. They've won the division back-to-back years. I know they've got their two pitchers, Jared Parker and A.J. Griffin. Parker went down with the Tommy John, so he's out for the year. The Angels, I think they'll make the wild card game. They'll play the Yankees in the wild card game. But the Rangers, they just had so many issues. The Rangers have probably had the worst spring training out of any team.
For sure.
Profar going down for 2 months.
Maybe the Braves. The Braves,
the Braves and the Rangers have the worst. Yeah. Derek Holland, tripping over a dog or something. In the first week, he's out till the midseason. They just had so many. Darvish isn't starting the opener. That's why I think if the Rangers can weather the storm, but still, they got a lot of issues there. And then the Central, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid as a homer. This is a homerism. This is just hope. I got the Indians winning the Central. What the Tigers have done recently, changing the team, like Miggy Cabrera and Prince Fielder back-to-back was just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And the lineup was so long, and now it's short. Like Andy Dierks is hurt. They're hoping to platoon him. Then the shortstop, Peralta, they lost him. They made a trade when they traded
for Iglesias.
Yeah, no, they got Iglesias, so he got hurt. And then they traded Doug Fister.
Yeah,
the Nationals, which I didn't understand, for Steven Lombardozzi and a bunch of just useless parts. And then Lombardozzi is a decent player. Then they traded Lombardozzi this week
for
Alex Gonzalez, who's 37 years old and had played 2 games at shortstop last year. And they're counting on this young third baseman, Nick Castellanos, who knows what he is. And the Indians, they have their own issues. Starting pitching is the big thing with them. They lost Ubaldo Jimenez and Kazmir. They got Masterson, Corey Kluber, young fireballer Danny Salazar. Watch out for him to get the stud. And then back end, they got 4 and 5. They got depth. And then their offense, Swisher and Bourne can bounce back from last year. I just got them. Then I got the Rays in the East in the wild card game, the Yankees in the West, the Dodgers, Cardinals, and Nationals, the wild cards, Reds, and Giants. And then I have the A's winning the World Series over the Cardinals. I just hope that Billy Bean... I have a man crush on Billy Bean just because he loves the English Premier League.
Okay.
And he's just, I think he's a great general manager. This is what I said. If Billy Bean's anything like the Brad Pitt Billy Bean in the movie, then the guy's amazing. And you know what? I haven't met him, so everything I've heard and listened to him, he sounds like that guy.
All right.
You know what? That's more sentimental pick.
Yeah. But before we get to the rest of the picks, we're going to take our last break.